Markets are quite steady in the face of the political turmoil. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. While the stock market hit some new highs earlier this week, there was not much movement yesterday or this morning so far. This drama playing out in Washington yet, the market signals meh. Why the disconnect? One theory is that what seems an inevitable outcome in the Senate has already been priced in by the market. There's also historical data showing that in past impeachments and the Nixon near impeachment, markets took their cues from the state of the economy, not so much politics. That's a theory that Karen Petru believes. She's managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics based in Washington. Interest rates are low and have been since the Great Recession, meaning stocks keep looking pretty good to many.
That leaves virtually no choice. Obviously, you can go into bonds, but as the high-risk markets, the leverage lending markets show, you're taking a lot of risk for very little spread based on that risk compared even to a low-return treasury. So people are in equities because fundamentally market dynamics are that investors need to make money. Some of them, day traders, retail investors, want to make money. Some of them have to make money because pension funds, insurance companies, the huge institutional investors that really drive the market will not meet their obligations.
So here we are looking at Capitol Hill for guidance, but maybe we should look at 20th Street Northwest and Constitution Avenue, where the Fed is located in Washington.
Absolutely. I would look at that towering granite edifice, try to peer into the interstices of the boardroom, because that's driving the market. The Fed, frankly, doesn't want to. It's not comfortable, but it is playing the markets, and it's supporting the markets. We saw that just last December. The Fed thought about raising rates, spooked the market. The Fed said, oops, never mind. That's the classic Greenspan equity put, and it's still in place, ever more so because of ultra-low interest rates driving the markets, and the Fed knows it.
Karen Petru is at Federal Financial Analytics in Washington. Karen, always good to talk to you.
Thank you, David. A real pleasure.
There is another vote in the House of Representatives today on the new NAFTA, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Unlike the drama last night, this is expected to pass with bipartisan support. Here's Marketplace's Andy Euler.
The International Trade Commission projected marginal economic benefits from the deal. So the biggest impact, if and when it's finally passed into law, might be an end to uncertainty.
The American business community and agriculture community are going to breathe a sigh of relief here.
John Murphy is vice president of international policy at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
There'll be a sense of certainty restored.
The headline grabber is the USMCA's requirement that more of an automobile's parts have to be made in North America to be exempt from tariffs, 75% up from about 62%. And Christine McDaniel at George Mason University points out, we signed NAFTA in the mid-1990s, so the new agreement provides some necessary updating around online commerce.
The digital trade chapter is a huge bright spot.
She says the USMCA treats digital trade the same way we do trading of tangible goods and services.
This digital trade chapter is a great platform to use in future deals.
Though McDaniel says it'll be tougher to get a country like China to sign onto something like this because its economy still isn't as open as our neighbors. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Uber has settled with the government for permitting a, quote, culture of sexual harassment and retaliation, to use the words of the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission. Uber will set up a $4.4 million compensation fund for current and former employees. There will also be 3 years of outside monitoring of the company's behavior. Marketplace helps you answer questions you've always wondered about, and now that includes finding out more about how and why we do what we do every day. Become a Marketplace investor today, and you'll get exclusive access to a series of virtual AMAs featuring Molly Wood, Guy Rizdahl, and me, David Brancaccio. Don't miss out on our 2020 Ask Me Anything series. Contribute $60 or sign up to donate $5 a month at marketplace.org. And thank you. This week, package delivery company FedEx was blunt about its quarterly results. The chief financial officer there called the drop in profits, quote, horrific. The trade war hurt, but so did the cost of its weekend delivery services, and it's battling innovations. One small but interesting one this holiday season, electric scooters towing 6-foot trailers full of packages. Here's reporter Sue Carpenter.
The delivery services industry is starting to think small, as in getting away from big delivery trucks and finding more compact, nimble vehicles like the scooter to get around. Peter Lee is the co-founder of Urbi. It makes battery-powered scooters that fold up when they're not being used. And now, it's got a tow hitch for a trailer that can haul 350 pounds and then collapse to the size of a carry-on bag.
Some of them will deploy directly from the warehouse. Some of them will deploy from the truck.
Amazon is using this Urbi system in New York City, and so is UPS in Los Angeles.
That couldn't be a more welcome development.
Salita Reynolds is general manager of the LA Department of Transportation. She says downtown LA streets don't have a lot of space, so when delivery trucks double park, they block cars and bicycle lanes, creating traffic and safety issues. In LA, scooters are supposed to ride in the bike lane where available. Juan Matute is deputy director of UCLA's Institute of Transportation Studies.
Smaller those vehicles are, if they're able to use, you know, bike lanes, park in a sidewalk or in a corner of an alley, that allows a lot more flexibility than a big truck on the curb.
The move to electric scooters comes as the U.S. parcel delivery service industry is growing. In 2019, Ibis World says it increased 5% to $109 billion, and many of those services are looking for different ways to get around. But will that just mean more congestion on sidewalks and bike lanes? Eli Akira Kaufman is executive director of the nonprofit LA County Bicycle Coalition.
There just needs to be a higher level of respect from all deliveries. So whether it's on a scooter, on a bike, or in a van car, that lane needs to be respected as a free-flowing space.
And those free-flowing spaces keep expanding. Amazon has talked about using drones for deliveries, and UPS already uses snowmobiles, horse-drawn carriages, even gondolas in certain markets. In Los Angeles, I'm Sue Carpenter for Marketplace.
I'm David Brancaccia. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.